In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. Ave Maria. We celebrate this day, St. Irenaeus of Lyon. And just to kind of give you an idea of the magnitude of his teaching, he, among all the fathers of the church, cited in the catechism, he's number 3. There's St. Augustine, there's St. Thomas Aquinas, the number 2 spot, and then there's St. Irenaeus in the amount of passages in which he has cited his work, Adversis Heresies, against heresies, is tremendous in its content for really the roots of the faith. He lived and died in about the year 203. He was a disciple of St. Polycarp in his glorious martyrdom, and who himself was a disciple and familiar with St. John the Beloved. And so some of the doctrine, especially one of them we can look at this morning, which is the doctrine of Our Lady as the new Eve, we trace to St. Irenaeus, we trace also to St. Justin Martyr, and we trace also to Tertullian. And Blessed John Henry Newman, in his letter to Pusey, wrote brilliantly on this. As you know, he was a convert from Anglicanism, and it was his study of the fathers that brought him in. And one of those pillars was, how do they look at Our Lady from the beginning? And he says the prima facie view of how the fathers understood Our Lady was as the second Eve. And he looked at the writings of the fathers and he said, well, if St. Justin Martyr is teaching this in Palestine, Tertullian is teaching it perhaps in Africa and also Rome, and St. Irenaeus is teaching it in France, the geographical distribution of this doctrine just a couple generations after the disciples led him to believe and should lead us to believe that this teaching of Our Lady as the second Eve is of apostolic origin, most likely coming from the beloved disciple and from all the disciples. So what about it? Well, the import of that is also tremendous because of the role that the first Eve had in the fall. We can say, along with Blessed John Henry Newman, that it was a sine qua non, without which the fall wouldn't have happened. In other words, it was an integral part of the unraveling and the fall to the lie of the serpent. And so in the opposite sense, and this is the insight of Blessed John Henry Newman, we can also gain the insight, and all the fathers as well, of Our Lady's role in redemption. And that also, we want to say, is a sine qua non, without which it wouldn't have happened. It was made contingent upon the free will of a creature who is the Immaculate Virgin Mary, both in saying yes, but also in the sacrifice, which was contained in that yes at the Annunciation at Calvary. So, okay, well, what about that? Well, with Our Lady and in the thought of St. Irenaeus in particular, we've got different parallels that we can draw between, that he has drawn between Eve and the second Eve. Of course, the new Adam is in the letters of St. Paul. Here's St. Irenaeus. He describes different language. The fallen Virgin Eve versus Virgin Mary, who recapitulates Eve. And then the virgin seduced by the rebel angel, Eve. And the new Eve, the virgin greeted by the faithful angel. Old Eve is virgin disobedient, and the new Eve is the virgin obedient. The old Eve, the cause of death per se, through herself, and is the virgin condemned. The Mother Mary is the new Eve, is the cause of salvation per se, and the virgin advocate of Eve. This word advocate is a very interesting choice because it's scriptural, which, of course, St. Irenaeus was very familiar with, and it's predicated of both our Lord and the Holy Spirit. It's a kind of a divine predication. Here, he says it of Eve, of Mother Mary as the new Eve. First Eve was the cause of death for the entire human race. Mother Mary is the cause of salvation for the entire human race. And lastly, the first Eve begets and brings forth children in corruption and in pain, and the new Eve begets, brings forth without corruption and without pain, which is also another pivotal teaching very, very early of the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and also that she experienced no labor pains during the birth of the Christ, the virginal birth of the Christ. So the Catechism will point this out and will cite St. Irenaeus specifically with this teaching on the new Eve being obedient She became the cause of salvation for herself and the whole human race. And this is the concept that's interesting. The knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience. You might be familiar that Pope Francis has a devotion specifically to Our Lady as untier, undoer of knots. And that gets at this aspect. A knot of disobedience is untied by Mary's obedience. And you think about what Eve's role was initially in the fall. Blessed John Paul II, in his look at the book of Genesis, probably in his Theology of the Body, will talk about this original unbelief. She's been given the command of God, and then the lie of the serpent will seduce her. And so this is kind of original unbelief that's underneath the disobedience. And so, too, the flip side of that is the faith of the Virgin Mary and her perfect obedience to the will of God. But nevertheless, we can kind of take a look at this with the wedding feast of Cana, whereby just as there's so many parallels between the fall and, of course, what we see in the Gospels. And one of them is at the wedding feast of Cana, where we see that if you're a servant at the wedding feast of Cana and you go, Mother Mary tells you, do whatever he tells you. Well, if I do that, I go to Jesus and fill these six water jars up with water, and I do that, I'm obedient, of course, to Jesus. But foundationally, underneath that and transparently, whatever Jesus tells me from now on, I am also fundamentally obedient to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She said, and I went to her first, do whatever he tells you. And that's important because that's a big part of the obedience of faith through Mary to Jesus that unravels this knot of disobedience. Rather than being bound to a creature, which we could say in the Blessed Virgin Mary, we're bound to a creature. And she's perfectly bound to the will of God. So we're in good shape. And so as servants at the wedding feast of Cana, we come to enjoy the wine of salvation, which is really the precious blood of Christ being poured forth into our souls and cleansing us from sin, original sin, and also in the sacrament of confession. So this day we rely on his intercession particularly because, just like the first reading, lots of itching ears, people latching on to fables, and that includes some of these very linchpin teachings on the importance of Our Lady, apostolic succession, a whole list of things St. Irenaeus exhorted, taught, reproved, admonished in his day. So may he intercede for us that we might be faithful always and also teach in season, out of season, for those who do not yet know the fullness of faith in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.